So Rachel Shively is going to come share her testimony with us this morning. She goes with Jeremiah, who shared his testimony a couple weeks back, and they joined our church a couple months ago, although you've been around for like 10-ish months most recently. She's also my little sister. So that makes it special. I'll put it that way. All right, so Rachel, would you come up and share what God has done for you?
Maybe he'll stand at this one. Does this work? For a long time, I didn't think that my testimony was very exciting, but God's grace in saving any of us is exciting, so I'm going to put him on display. Not only was I born into a very solid Christian home, but I was born into a camp home. My parents were directors of a Christian kids camp out in California, and so my daily life was gospel saturated, you could say. There are three things that I cannot remember not believing. One of them is that the Bible is God's word, it's sufficient, and it's our authority. Two, that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth. He died for the sins of the world and rose again. And three, that I, Rachel Stanley, was a sinner. That was not hard for me to believe. Everyone knew I was a sinner, including myself. When I was four, during one of our evening family devotions, these truths became personal when I made the connection that it was my sin that was separating me from Jesus, and that Jesus died for my sin. And this was the moment of my conversion, when Jesus granted me, at 4 years old, saving faith. I have this vivid memory of going to bed that night and being naughty, jumping up and down in my bed because I was so happy that I wasn't going to hell anymore. But believing at four, there was a lot of things of the scope of my salvation that I didn't understand. And throughout my childhood, I really struggled with assurance of my salvation. I would sin. I would still be that naughty little girl. And those doubts would creep in and say, how could you really be saved if you keep being naughty, if you keep sinning? And I would struggle. And growing up at camp, we heard a lot of salvation invitations. There'd be morning Bible class and missions Bible class and afternoon Bible time and evening chapel. And sometimes repentance would be emphasized in those gospel presentations, and I would get stuck on that thinking maybe I wasn't remorseful enough for my sin. But that's not a good definition of what repentance is. I had a wrong understanding. And sometimes altar calls would be emphasized, and I was scared to death of an altar call. I wasn't going to do that. I thought they'll just think that I don't believe the gospel, that I'm rejecting Jesus, and I just need to pray and get saved. But what I struggled with is, how could I be saved if I was still sinning? I believed what he did on the cross with my whole heart. And God knew I was his, and he in his grace did not leave me in that place of struggle. Though I was afraid or maybe prideful to go to an adult for clarification, I could have got it a lot faster if I'd done that. I knew where I could find the answers, and that was God's word, a core belief in the sufficiency and the authority of Scripture. And when I was 13 years old, I picked up my Bible and desperately began to search for the answers I knew were there. God didn't just automatically make me open up to the right passage or verse and bring me clarity and assurance, but he used that time to draw me closer to himself, to sit at his feet, behold who he was and the depths of what he had done for me. It took reading through the New Testament several times. I don't remember a specific moment that it all clicked, but God used passages like Romans chapter 7. Paul pretty much summed up my struggle in that great biblical tongue tie. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd heard that verse so many times in Salvation Invitations, which is a good verse. But for the first time, I realized that 1 John was written to believers. And believers had to confess their sins because believers still sin. And then just a couple verses down, and when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Over that year, I came to complete assurance and dependent rest on his sufficient work on the cross for my past, my present, and my future, that I am his and that he is mine forever. Thank you.